You are listening to a podcast from Influence Church. We hope it encourages and empowers you to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God. For any more information, visit our website, influencechurch.co.uk. Enjoy the message.
Thank you so much for inviting me this evening. Some of you are thinking, who is she? And did we have a choice whether we invited her? Probably not. My name is Judy, and with my husband Nick, we are the location pastors in Workington on the west coast of Cumbria. Thank you. We do love coming to Barnard Castle, and we're not supposed to have favourites, but we do like coming here. And I think part of that is because of our friendship with Johnny and Maddie. Let's start with crying. Start as we mean to go on. They have been very special to us. But when I was praying last night and saying, God, why is it that I like so much coming to Barnard Castle? And I felt God saying prophetically, it's that Johnny and Maddie are facilitators of faith. And facilitators make room for God. They make space for the impossible to happen. And that's what's happening here. But of course, they can't do that alone. They facilitate it, and you follow where they lead. And I just want to honor all of you for being willing to follow where Jesus is leading you. We are so encouraged because 4 years ago, when we first started coming over to Barnard Castle, you were in number about the same as we now are in Workington. And that in itself is so encouraging. I know God will not do things the same way with us as he has done with you, because it's always a unique story. But it is still very encouraging to stand here and see so many of you tonight. And so I just want to say, we are watching, we're taking notes, and we are praying, God, I'm so jealous, please do the same with us. Can we just pray before I start? Mighty God, I want to thank you so much for all that we've heard so far. Lord, for the encouragements, for the inspiration. Lord, I just pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to what you want to say tonight, and that the words that I speak will be a faithful recounting of what you've spoken to me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to lose some of you to start with by talking about, can we have a hands up of who had a landline telephone in their house when they were growing up? Oh, a few more than I thought. But I have to say that the telephone in our house when I was growing up was shut in my dad's office. It was made out of Bakelite. It had a twisted fabric cord on it, and the dial had numbers as well as letters as well as numbers. And to lift the receiver, you needed two hands because it weighed a ton. And we were not usually allowed to touch the telephone. It was just for my dad. But when he was out and it rang, my mum would have a fit. She was terrified of the telephone. And she would shout, could somebody get that, please? And us three children would race to be the first to get to the telephone and say, Middleton on C2584. You don't forget your first telephone number, do you? I had to learn it off by heart in case I ever got lost, which was quite frequently. So we were living in an era without messages, without mobile phones. We were also living in an era where you still wrote letters to people if you wanted to talk about something important. And when I was 19 years old, a friend of mine wrote me a letter inviting me to go and stay with them for the weekend in Nottingham and to go to their church. And I went, and I came home, and that night I gave my life to Jesus. That was, a few years ago. 19 is only a few years ago. The next year, I went into a flat with a couple of girls in the local town and share that flat with them. And we were part of a local church with a very strong group of young adults. And pretty much every night of the week, 20 or 30 of us would gather in our flat to talk about Jesus, to pray, to read our Bibles, to discuss and ask questions about him. We were passionate to know him better. And one of the regular questions which came up was, what is your calling? And we would read books by people who'd obviously got a clear call from God on their lives and see how it happened and how we could position ourselves to hear what it was that God wanted us to do. What's the one big thing that he wants me to do? What's my vocation? We were a bit obsessed, but our heart in it was good. We didn't want to live meaningless lives, mediocre and purposeless. We wanted to make a difference for Jesus. Whilst our intentions were good, I think we were missing the point. Just as a phone call was a big event in my house growing up, so is hearing God's voice and his calling. But this should not be a one-off event. This should be a lifetime of call and response. God has been calling people since he first created Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God's plan. John 1, verses 1 and 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. God's intention was always to speak to us. For Adam and Eve, he didn't just create them, bless them, and wave them goodbye. He spoke to them. He gave them purpose, an important job or calling. They were effectively estate managers for his Garden of Eden. But they forgot that with calling comes a daily walking and talking with God, asking for wisdom and input, deferring to him. It was forgetting this which led to guilt, shame, and hiding from God in fear. God was left to ask, where are you? Not because he didn't know where they were. God knows everything. But really wanting to know, why aren't you running to me? And I wonder if tonight, for some of us, God is saying, where are you? Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, walk worthy of the calling you have received. Adam and Eve knew their calling, but they started to take it for granted. And this is the danger of not continually communicating with God. When we stop speaking to him and asking his opinion, things can go badly wrong. We start hiding. Walking worthy means respecting and fearing God, honoring him. That's different to being afraid, which is something again and again through Scripture. God says, do not be afraid. What I learned in my early years, education, development, and training, is that young children physically cannot hear if they are afraid. God wants us to hear his voice and not be afraid. I think broadly speaking, there are four voices that we tend to listen to. But which do we listen to the most? One is the world, TV, TikTok, even friends and family. The second is ourselves and our inner thoughts. The third is the enemy of our souls. And I don't want to give him too much credit, because I think we're more than capable of messing things up ourselves. And finally, God. However well-intentioned those other voices are, there's only one that will never lie to us, There's only one who knows us better than we know ourselves and will always speak the truth to us in love. And he still wants to speak over us today as he did at creation. Over your life, it is good. And I do feel that's prophetic for some people here tonight, that we need to hear that we are loved and believe it. So why do we choose to listen to those other voices? I think there can be a number of reasons. One of them is that we're wanting to keep control. And we have the sneaky feeling that if we let God speak to us, he'll be wanting us to do something that we don't want to do. He'll be wanting us to let go something that we love. He'll be wanting to give us something to do that is so challenging, it will be outside of our comfort zone. We also have wrong beliefs and assumptions about him and what he thinks of us, that he may want to punish us because we're so hard on ourselves. He may be angry with us. And I did think while I was preparing this that there are a couple of people in particular, one who is facing a redirection in their business where things have been great, it's a dream come true, but you know that God is going to ask you to change something and that it's going to mean expansion. And you're thinking, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't do anymore. And God wants to say, I want to give you the people who can help you to do that. But he needs to speak to you tonight. And the second is, I saw a picture of a bit like after the storms in our garden recently, of smashed pottery in a pile. And God's saying, that was yesterday, and it's broken, and it's gone. And when you gave your life to me, you said, you can do anything with me. And then there was a picture of the potter's wheel again. And he wants to say, do you trust me to make something better than what the first one was? And it's something much bigger because your capacity is growing. The old pot was not big enough. You've grown and you can be so much more. And I want to take you there. Had to get that in now, otherwise it'll be in my head the whole way through the rest of it. Matthew 11, verse 25 says, whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, there's none so deaf as those who will not hear. Both Hebrews 3, verses 15 to 17, and Psalm 95 give us the same warning. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And Hebrews 12, verse 25 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. To which we might think, or what? What are the consequences of not listening to God? Our automatic assumption may be that God is angry rather than trying to steer us in a different direction that will make us happier and more fulfilled. Romans 8, verse 28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Don't harden your hearts against what you think God is going to say. He wants to speak to you. One of our favourite activities when our children were growing up was on holiday to do beach scavenging. And they would come back with all sorts of treasures of worn glass and shells. But one of their very favourite things was to bring back heart-shaped stones. And we had quite a collection at home all over every windowsill. But this reminded Nick and I of the stories in Narnia where the lion, Aslan, has to breathe over those stone statues to breathe life back into them. And I believe he wants to continue to breathe life in us today by speaking to us. He wants to bring fresh life tonight. You've heard the expression, you can't get blood from a stone. Well, maybe he wants to breathe that fresh life into you tonight. But also Jesus' blood is speaking on our behalf. There's a hymn that I love that has these words. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. The great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. We need a change of heart. And that's exactly what he promises us. In Ezekiel 36, verse 26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And into those hearts of flesh, he has tattooed his name. And in turn, our names are tattooed on his heart so that we are always reminded that we are loved. When God speaks to us, we need to receive it with faith and speak it out. The Christmas story begins with the story of John the Baptist's birth. Zechariah, his father, although he was a priest, had a message from God that he would have a son, and he didn't believe it. And in turn, he lost his voice until he did believe. His wife Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, in contrast, received the word of God and proclaimed God's goodness with a loud voice. John the Baptist, like so many prophets, is sent to be God's voice in a time of darkness, to remind and to reignite faith in God's people. Luke 3, verse 4, quotes Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. The opposite of having a stony heart makes it easy and prepares a way with open, honest, vulnerable listening. When Jesus was about to go into Jerusalem, he was criticized for not making his disciples be quiet. And he said to the Pharisees who questioned it, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Even stones will shout out in praise to God. But our hearts are no longer made of stone if we've given them to God. In the song, if creation sings your praises, so will I. That reminds us that all of creation is looking to us and longing for the return of God. When you hear his voice, cry out with your worship, with your need of him for healing, deliverance, salvation, provision, and purpose. Don't stifle, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Like Elizabeth, we need to be filled. Psalm 42, verses 7 and 8 says, deep cries to deep at the noise of your waterfalls. And Revelation 1, verse 15 says, like the sound of many waters is his voice. Sometimes earthly language alone is not enough. We need the gift of tongues to cry out, Abba, or Daddy, Father, to the one who loves us. We might ask the question, should I even expect God to speak to me today? Nick preached here a few weeks ago, talking about greater expectations. And I think we should have that when we're asking to hear God calling us. Not just with our ears, but with our hearts. John 16, verses 12 to 14 says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. We can't remember everything humanly. We can only absorb so much information at a time. And yes, we have our Bibles. We have that benefit in this day and age. But Jesus said, there is so much more that I want to speak to my church. But he lets us hear it a bit at a time, when we're ready, when we come to him. It's a journey of walking, talking, listening, learning, and responding. Asking for the Holy Spirit's presence in ourselves individually and in our meetings corporately, so that we can continually hear God's direction, encouragement, and pleasure in us. I love that tonight, the songs and the words that people said when they came to the stage, there was a theme. There were things that God had spoken to every person without them referring to each other. That's the Holy Spirit calling to us today, speaking to us today, prophetically, encouraging us, and hopefully asking for more is part of that, that we want more of that in our times when we come together. When Jesus called Peter to come out on the water and walk with him, he said, come. In the Great Commission, we are told to go. And I think we forget that he's promised to be with us always. So just the same as calling us to come, when he tells us to go, he's not saying, off you go. He's saying, let's go. We'll go together. He also calls us by name. In Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2, it says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. That's not a reason to fear. It's thrilling. It's comforting. It's challenging. And it's the big life that God wants for us. Calling is unique to each of us, but a great example of someone who responded to God calling is Samuel in the Old Testament, who was woken by the voice of God, calling him by name. And his response was, here I am. How does that contrast with Adam needing to have God say to him, where are you? Let's be people who say, here I am, and not wait for God to come and say, where are you? Revelation mentions a number of times, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. These are exciting days to be alive. Worldwide, there are prophetic voices stirring the church again to pray with new energy for a promised revival, to listen and respond to God's call. I'm just going to have a picture put up on the screen right now, which was probably very well known to a number of you, if not all of you. The painting is by Holman Hunt. It's a picture of Jesus, and it's entitled The Light of the World. Inscribed at the bottom of the frame of this picture is this quotation from Revelation 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And Romans 10, verse 13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a call there and there's a response. Jesus has come to call today, knocking on the door of our hearts. Don't take it for granted. Long for it, search for it, And when you hear it, respond. From Genesis to Revelation, you've been hearing some of the quotations, and there are so many more about God calling people, calling to them, asking them to follow him, to love him, and be loved by him. You may think, I haven't heard God's calling tonight. First of all, I want to encourage you that so many times it's been when I've been sitting in a meeting like this and thinking, yeah, I'm ready, my heart's open, and I haven't heard anything. But actually, it's when I've stood up and moved that God has spoken in life-changing ways and called me to do things that, on that first day I gave my life to him, would have been unimaginable to me. To move hundreds of miles, to leave family, to leave houses. So many things, so many ways, big and small, day after day. And sometimes I've dragged my feet, and sometimes I've said, yes, God, I'm ready. This month in Influence Church, we're discussing and meditating on the peace of God. So I would like to speak this final blessing and I hope assurance over you tonight. So if you feel you can, would you stand? And maybe in whatever way you want to, position your hands in a way that you're going to receive from God. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24 says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. He is committed to changing us. He is committed to continuing to call on us, to call us forward to more, more of him, more of his purposes, more of his fullness of life. We're going to sing now. And I would like you to respond to God that you may need to move out from your seat and where you are. Either go and find somebody who you trust to pray with you. If God's put something into your heart or your mind tonight and you think, yeah, I know he's calling me. I know he's calling me to that. Or come to the front and somebody will pray for you. But I do think it's important that we move and we respond when we hear him. God's saying, where are you? Let's show him where we are tonight. So we're going to sing first, and then I will move down and I'll come and pray for people as well.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Influence Church. For any more information, visit our website, influencechurch.co.uk. Influence Church, empowering you to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God.